Jesus said, take and eat it, and take and drink it. Jesus said, as often as you eat the bread and drink the fruit of the vine, you show forth my death until I come again. He is coming again. And this moment is nearer than last moment. And next year is nearer than this year. And when you don't think he's coming, what does he say I'm going to do? I'm going to come. I'm going to receive you so you can be with me where I am now. And Lord Jesus, for these requests have been put in this box, as well as those who previously have been placed here, I place it at the altar, and I'm thanking you, Jesus, that we do not need our input on this. All we need is the prayer request, and that you will take care of it. And it is something for you to do, Jesus, and we just lovingly have put into this box our prayer request. I want to thank you, Jesus, that you are in the process even now of taking care of these requests, dispatching angels where needed, sending healing where needed, sending direction where needed, sending mending of relationships where needed, sending jobs where needed, sending help when so desperately is needed, sending comfort where it's needed, sending finances where needed. And we bless you, God, that you are in the process right now of answering these prayers according to your will, but according to our request. And we confidently leave them in the box without fretting or worrying or with much anxiety, knowing that you do all things right. Would you say that, people? You do all things right. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gene. I have looked high and I've looked low for the emblem that I think we should have for this season, especially for yesterday. And I've gone to, how many stores have we gone to just in shopping? Scads of stores, and you too. And I've looked at the stores on the shelves where these objects were that I think should really symbolize yesterday and Christmas and what it's all about. And the only place I found it was, believe it or not, in a office supply store. And I know I've told you the story several times, perhaps through the years, but this is the true symbol of Christmas. For you younger people, maybe you don't know what this is, but what does it do? It is a magnifying glass. And sometimes we have put a tiny magnifying glass in the manger scene, because I think this is, well, this is the new symbol I would like to recommend to the whole wide world for an old event. And that's my message today, the new symbol for the old event that perpetually is with us, and that is the magnifying glass. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke, if you will. Luke chapter 2. And while there are many sacred and secular symbols during this holiday season, we could always all name a lot of them, I think this is the truest one. The symbols that we normally associate with Christmas are what? Give me five right quick. Symbols that we usually associate with Christmas. Right. But what about the magnifying glass? What about the magnifying glass? So, I was looking in the Word of God. First of all, I looked in Webster's. Because when I know what the magnifying glass does, sort of. But I would like to see what Webster says. And Webster gives three definitions of magnify, and they are these. One, to praise highly. Now, this comes from a secular book. The word magnify. of its three meanings, the first meaning is to praise highly. Sort of blew my mind away. That's sort of religious, isn't it? To praise highly? Could be. Secondly, to cause to be held in high esteem or respect. Three, to enlarge, whether in fact of application. So let's lose number one. The magnifying glass means to praise highly. Now we like to say, Lord, forgive us, as that little child prayed, forgive us our Christmases. Forgive us our Christmases, for we have forgotten what it was all about. And while it did happen yesterday, great anticipation for it, the aura of it all is still in the air, isn't it? And it will continue to be in the air as long as we let it be in the air. But the sad thing is, for most people, when you start putting it all away, you put it all away. And Jesus gets boxed. The manger gets boxed. Mary and Joseph get boxed. And they stay in the box for many, many people until the very next year. And then, wow, you let them out of the box. What I want to do today is to motivate you, dear people, to keep him out and to use this symbol. Because while the other symbols, all five that you mentioned, are being put away in boxes, most of you have this at home. How many of you actually have a magnifying glass that you have access to every now and then at home? Great. I'm inclined to keep mine out. Because this symbol, which is going to be out on desks the rest of the year, is the perfect symbol of Christmas. How do I know that? Well, I'm turning to Luke chapter 1, verse 46. Luke chapter 1, verse 46. Mary, that one person that is in the symbolism of Christian. Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. So what she said was, my soul magnifies the Lord. So Mary magnified God. She magnified God with a baby, which is to say, we know people who are young and have children. For you who are young and have children, you can magnify God through your children, through your family life. And as Mary said, I want to magnify God. My soul magnifies God. And she did it through a baby. So when you young parents have small children, recognize the fact that you can have a chance to magnify God through your children. And I think I told you a long time ago that J. Edgar Hoover said the place to reform America is not in the, he was with the FBI, is not the high chair, I'm sorry, not the electric chair, but the high chair. And when I first heard that, it didn't make much sense with me, but the more I thought about it, it's great. That's the place to reform America, in the high chair. So Mary magnified God, her soul magnified God through her baby, because the Spirit of God was in the baby. So for the young parents, they have room for Jesus throughout the year, and for the children in those formative years who are God's masterpieces that have been given to you, you can magnify God through your children. But as life goes on, the hardships appear, and then when you turn to Job, I never like turning to Job, because Job, I see what Job goes through, and I see what I go through and what you go through, and I don't like to turn to it because it reminds me of everything that we are going through, but we can't escape it, because our life is being magnified through sufferings and trials. I do like to turn to the end of Job, because at the end of Job, it all works out really good, just like the last chapter of this book. But in Job 36, verse 24, look at this scripture, if you will, and you'll have to use King James to find the word magnify, I think. Job 36, 24, it says, remember to magnify his work, which men have praised in song. Remember that you magnify his work. So Mary magnified God through the baby. God is asking me to magnify him through my sufferings and through my trials that I'm going through. Of course, none of you are going through any sufferings and trials. But if you were, for example, in a position where you had a suffering or a trial, pull out the glass because it's not been packed and magnify God. Now, actually, these words are not from Job. They're from Elihu, but that's okay too because it's in the Word of God. It contains the Word of God, and sometimes it is the Word of God. In the case here, this word is from Elihu speaking to Job. Now, Mary and Joseph, I mean, they had hardships. They didn't even have a diaper service. Mary and Joseph had it really hard raising baby Jesus. You talk about the terrible twos and the threes and the fours. Jesus grew up, but the beautiful thing about Jesus is that he grew in the wisdom of God, and he obeyed his parents, the children, the Bible says, which is so good for children even today. So when Mary and Joseph went through their hardships as a young family, it's just true that we're going to go through hardships as a young family too. But as we mature in age, we are going to have to suffer a lot of things. A person told me once, I am a Christian, and I am not going to suffer at all. I don't have to suffer because Jesus already suffered. And I thought to him, myself, what planet did this guy come from? You know, we do suffer, don't we? And just because we are a Christian does not mean we're not going to suffer. But what it does mean, people, is that we're going to have something to carry us through that suffering. And it's going to be like my spare tire, for example. It's there if I need it. And Jesus says, I'm there if you will let me get out of the box and help you. Job magnified God through his sufferings and through the trials that he went through. When I say of trials and sufferings, am I hitting any nerves at all about difficulty that we go through? Health and finances and marital relations and jobs and all those things, they just are part of the network of living. And if we can magnify God, if we can magnify God through our sufferings. Now, we're not magnifying the suffering. Hear me. We're not magnifying the suffering. What we're magnifying is God in the suffering. And if you get this concept, we're magnifying God through our sufferings, like I think Carlson said this morning, it may not change the circumstance, but it's going to change our attitude toward the circumstance. Job magnified God through his sufferings and his trials. And there was something in him that made him stable. It was something in him. There's something in you that's going to help you in these difficult days. And I would assume that in the next 365 days, plus what we have left in this year, one or two of you will have one or two sufferings and trials. But just remember this, when you're going through the suffering, when you're going through that trial, not only is Jesus with you, but remember that it is working out something in you. It is working out something in you. Now, years ago in London, the days of the horse and buggy, for example, there were two roads that led into London. One was a flat road, like that. The other road was a hill kind of a road. Now, the horses, I'm told, that went to and fro from the countryside to downtown London on the flat road were not very strong horses. In fact, they didn't last as long as the horses that went to London up the hill. Why? Anybody got any ideas? You're thinking it, aren't you? Because they had to exercise the muscles that would not be exercised if you were climbing up, up, up. So, I can hear somebody saying, well, that's sure not helping me much with my troubles. But it will help you if you can magnify God through that. That the developing of your inner man is what is going to be very, very important. Greg, you have a cold chisel at home. Do you know what a cold chisel is? People, it's a cold chisel. It's a chisel that you can take, you know what a chisel is, you can hit it with a hammer, and you can actually cut stuff with it. And I read last week an illustration where this guy was taking a cold chisel. He was a plumber, and he was actually cutting an iron pipe in the days when they did not have what we have today to cut iron pipes. So he was chiseling around, and he was actually cutting this iron pipe. And his friend watched him as his friend of the apprentice was taking a cold chisel and hitting some lead. And of course, when you hit the lead, it would just really ease out. It's very, very soft. But here's the amazing thing that the plumber told his friend. He said the chisel that we're cutting the lead with is not going to last very long because it is hitting so soft material that it wears it out faster than if it was hitting the iron. You knew that, didn't you, Greg? Okay, we got something hard, we got something soft. Personally, I like the soft life. But it's not going to work for me. I need the hard life, because it's through the hard life that I can do what Job did, these hard difficulties. And people, I mean, Nancy and I are going through some rough times with people. And you're going through some rough times with people. And they're hard times too, whatever that means to all of you. But we have learned to do what? Magnify God through the difficulties and the suffering and the trials that are coming our way. Hard to do, yes, but I will sing of the glories of the Lord, or I will magnify the Lord in all things. Okay, Mary did it through what? The baby? I'm suggesting that we do it through our difficult times, our sufferings, and our trials, but poor old Paul, turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. Philippians 1, 20. It says here, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always Christ will be magnified in my body. Now Paul magnified God, but where was Paul when he's writing this letter? He's in prison. He's in jail. Now, obviously, you're not in jail because I am looking at you, but you may be listening to my voice in jail. Last week, we visited Jeff Ingalls in jail, had a great visit. He told me to tell you all hi. We gave greetings from our church to him, and that he was not forgotten. So he is a person who is literally, physically in jail, as was Paul. I'm suggesting that you're looking at a prisoner right now, as in fact, I am looking at you who are prisoners. So, because we can be prisoners of addictions, we can be prisoners of habits, we can be prisoners of things that we do, which is the same thing. We can be prisoners of ourselves, we can be prisoners in so many ways, not literally behind bars, as was Paul. But the point is, Paul said, I'm in prison. Whether I live or whether I die, I want to glorify God. And then his words here in Philippians 1:20, King James uses the word, I want to magnify God while I'm in prison. So when I see that people like Joseph, people like John the Baptist, people like Jeremiah, who was thrown into a dungeon with his feet in the mire, these guys were literally in prison, as the man that I spoke of earlier. We have other prisons that we speak figuratively where we may be. And in these situations, while we cry out to God to release us, he says, I've got the keys. But in the meantime, until it is opened and you are out, I want you to, what? Magnify me. The fourth and the last comes from Psalm 69:30. And this is so such a cool verse. Psalm 69, verse 30. I entitle this point, You Magnifying God Just Through Yourself. Psalm 69:30 says, I will praise God's name in song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. You know, being thankful is one way to magnify God. God's unspeakable gift that he has given. You give him an unspeakable gift as well. We ask for things, and you asked for things last week, and some of you got what you asked for, some of you didn't. The post office gets all these letters. Gimme, 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 gimme. And a postman once said, after it's all over, I don't think there were many, many thank you, thank you, thank yous that came through. all asking and not being thankful. But the scripture says that we are to magnify God through our thanksgiving. Now, this is a year-round deal. Magnifying through our circumstances and through the things that we find ourselves in, we just can magnify God through our thanksgiving. So Samuel says, 7:26, actually it was Moses, "So let your name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel." Let your name be magnified. Let it be magnified for his greatness. And again, Psalm 34:3 says, "My soul will boast in the Lord." That's verse 2. "Let the afflicted hear and rejoice." We spoke about that. But then verse 3 says, "Glorify the Lord with me, and let us magnify his name forever." Oh, people, how I want to magnify his name this next year. I have not magnified him as I should. You've not magnified him as you should. Another word for magnify would be amplify. Amplify. What this does is amplifying. And I want us to be amplifiers. Amplifiers of Jesus. Amplifiers of his love. Because that's what he's asked us to be. And so this word amplify means to expand, to enlarge. And the example would be a microphone. It is enlarging my voice so that you all can hear, or for the recording. It means to enlarge as by discussion, which we're doing in sermons and in studies and in tape. We are enlarging Jesus, our spirit man. It also means to render more extended, which means the importance of it all. So let's don't let the tinsel and the wrapping paper that still is probably in your home right now, or maybe in the yard, or wherever it could be, don't let it smother out the whole beauty of it all. Let us amplify Jesus. And when that baby entered the world 2,000 years ago, people got to see God because he was magnifying Jesus. Jesus was magnifying God. And there are people in the beginning, the prophets that were there proclaiming about Jesus, John the Baptist. Finally, Jesus. Jesus, the full, let's call it the full amplification of God. So I say, the Psalm 138:2, "God, you have magnified your word above your name." So people, let's get the glass out and let's not be ashamed of it. And let us magnify God in all that we do. And Psalm 74, to conclude, says, "Let all those who seek you," which would be we gathered this day, "let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you." That would be Christmas. "And let those who love your salvation," that would be Easter, "say continually," the last four words, "let God be magnified." Stand and say it with me, would you? Let God be magnified. God, we want to magnify you, not ourselves. And we stand as little, well, we stand as little magnifying glasses, if you please. And we have got the Spirit of God within us. And Lord, I'm just asking that somehow or another, as never before, we start amplifying what we know. We start magnifying what we believe. And we don't let the world squeeze us into its mold so that we do not portray the inner man. And so I come against intimidation that would squash some people from proclaiming the message as did the angels. I come against the inability that some would feel. And I ask God that you so fill us right now with your Holy Spirit that we will just be walking magnifying glasses throughout the city, in our homes, in our workplaces, when we play, wherever we go. People would say, "Wow, I see something about you." And that something would fulfill the prophetic word about this church that 10 will come for one and they will say, "What do you have? We want what you've got." And Lord, as we end this year and begin next year, we do it with expectation, and we seek you. We seek you so deeply. Nancy, what's the word that we used last week from God? Say again?
Of necessity.
Of necessity. Thank you, people. We will seek you out of, as of necessity, like a diver under the water, or a swimmer under the water needs air so bad. God, may we be that way. And in that state, we will be the greatest magnifying glasses of the world. And just as a magnifying glass starts a fire, if it positions certain places in a weedy field, so we would start a fire in King City, flaming the love, the salvation, and the healing that's in the Lord. God, we stand in your presence and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. And before you leave, we do invite you to come to the altar if you want to kneel or pray. If you want to have a touch, if you want to receive the anointing with oil, we ask that you come forward. Don't go away without Jesus. Anyone? We welcome all of you from near and from far. You have blessed us with your presence.